Welcome to our deep dive into Hosea chapter 4. It's a section of the Bible that really grapples with some huge questions about faith relationships and what happens when we kind of stray from God.
Yeah, it really does.
You might be surprised at how much it connects with our lives today.
Right.
Even touching on things like that revival in Wilmore,
yeah.
Kentucky.
It is fascinating how it connects to today.
Absolutely. Like right off the bat,
yeah.
In Hosea 4.1, it talks about this lack of truth, love, and knowledge of God in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But these aren't just like missing pieces.
Right.
Dr. Oswald, in his commentary, really emphasized how these missing elements actually set off this chain reaction that leads to societal breakdown.
Yeah, it's like truth isn't just knowing facts. It's not being regular and keeping promises, building trust.
Right.
When that foundation crumbles, everything starts to fall apart.
It's like fake news.
Yes.
Declining trust in institutions today.
Absolutely.
It's kind of eerie how those ancient words connect to that.
Yeah.
And then there's this word heist.
Yeah.
It's often translated as just love, but it's so much deeper than that.
Much deeper. Think of it less like a feeling and more like unwavering commitment to someone's well-being, even if they don't deserve it.
Yeah, Dr. Oswald used the example of Boaz and Ruth from the Book of Ruth.
Right.
This wealthy landowner was just humbled by Ruth's loyalty and called her actions heist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a powerful contrast to how we often see love today.
Oh, absolutely. Boaz didn't love Ruth because she was beautiful or beneficially to him.
Right.
He was drawn to her character, and he chose to show her kindness and generosity. It's a radical way of loving that challenges us to go beyond superficial connections.
It really is. And finally, there's this knowledge of God.
Right.
And it's not just knowing about God,
right,
but truly understanding his character and having a relationship with him.
Yeah, it's that difference between reading about someone and actually spending time with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just like building any relationship, knowing God requires this vulnerability.
Yes.
And trust. We have to let go of our need to control everything and surrender to something bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely.
So we've got this lack of truth, love, and knowledge of God.
Right.
So what happens next?
Yeah. What happens next?
Well, Hosea doesn't sugarcoat the consequences at all.
No, he doesn't.
In verse 2, he paints a pretty bleak picture of society falling apart.
Yeah.
Like everything just goes haywire.
It's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
Without truth, you get lying and deception. Without you see selfishness and violence.
Right.
And without knowledge of God, there's no moral compass to guide people's actions.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And this idea that our faith and how we treat others are inseparable.
Yes.
That's what Dr. Oswald calls ethical theology.
Right.
It's this powerful challenge to examine our own lives.
Yes.
Do our beliefs, our faith actually show up in how we treat people around us?
Yeah. Are we living out what we say we believe?
Right.
Our actions should reflect that deep connection with God.
It really makes you think.
It does.
And that gets even more interesting in verse 3.
Okay.
Because it's not just people suffering.
Right.
Hosea talks about creation itself mourning because of humanity's spiritual decay.
That part really struck me. It's like this ripple effect of brokenness. The land, the animals, even the fish are experiencing the consequences of humanity turning away from God. It connects to what we see today with all the environmental concerns, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Hosea is saying our actions have consequences far beyond ourselves.
Right.
Dr. Oswald shared this story about his father viewing land as a trust from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really powerful.
It is a reminder that we are stewards of this planet,
right?
Responsible for caring for creation. And it's a responsibility that's deeply rooted in our relationship with God.
Then we come to this unexpected twist.
Yes.
In verses 4 through 8.
Okay.
Instead of blaming the people directly.
Right.
God points the finger at the priests.
Interesting. What's going on there?
What's going on there?
Yeah.
So in ancient Israel,
mm-hmm.
priests held this unique position.
He did.
They were seen as mediators between God and the people.
Right.
They were supposed to help people understand God's ways and lead them towards him.
Like a window through which people could glimpse God's presence and through which God's light could shine upon them.
So they had this huge responsibility to guide people spiritually.
Huge responsibility.
But the priests in Hosea's time, they weren't exactly living up to that calling.
No, they weren't. They were more concerned with their own power and comfort than with saving God and leading the people.
It was a huge betrayal of trust.
It was.
And that reminds me of something Dr. Oswald said about the priesthood of all believers.
Okay.
This core idea in Protestant theology, it means that, in a sense, we all have this responsibility to represent God.
Yes.
And share his message.
Yeah, we don't need a priest to act as a go-between.
Right.
We can all have that direct connection with God.
But with that direct connection
yeah.
comes responsibility.
It does. It's like we each have the potential to be that window reflecting God's light and love to those around us. It's not just about going to church. It's about living out our faith authentically in every aspect of our lives.
And that connects to the idea of discipleship.
Right.
Which Dr. Oswald brought up.
Yeah.
He mentioned Robert Coleman's book, The Master Plan of Evangelism,
mm-hmm.
and how Jesus' main focus was investing in a small group of disciples,
yeah.
equipping them to carry on his work.
Instead of just preaching to the masses, Jesus poured his life into a few sapers, training them to become leaders and teachers. It's a model for us showing how we can make a difference in the world by investing in others.
So it's not just about our own personal relationship with God.
Right.
It's about helping others find that same connection.
Yes. It's about becoming conduits of God's grace and love, extending his reach into the world. And that's something we can all do, regardless of our title or position.
So we've got this societal breakdown.
Yeah.
The priests are failing in their duties.
Right.
And the people are feeling lost and disillusioned.
They are. What happens next?
So that's where we see the people turning away from God.
Yeah.
And seeking comfort in all the wrong places.
Right. And that takes us to verses 10 through 14, where Hosea describes them clinging to empty rituals, getting lost in wine, and even resorting to divination with a wooden staff.
It's like they're trying to fill this void.
They are. It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're longing for connection and security, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Instead of turning to God, they're trying to control their destinies through these empty practices and fleeting pleasures.
Instead of building a foundation of truth, love, and knowledge of God, they're reaching for things that won't satisfy.
Right. And that's where this idea of a spirit of prostitution comes in.
Okay. So this spirit of prostitution, I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in verses 12 to 14, and it's this powerful image that goes beyond the literal meaning.
Right.
So I'm curious, like, how did Dr. Oswald explain that?
Well, he challenged us to think about it less as a physical act and more as a way of relating to others. It's about using people for selfish gain, lacking genuine intimacy and commitment.
So instead of seeking that real connection, you're just looking for something superficial.
Yeah.
Something to take rather than to give.
Exactly. And it's not limited to romantic relationships either.
Right.
Think about how we consume media, for example.
Okay.
Are we truly engaging with the content, or are we just kind of scrolling and swiping, looking for that quick dopamine hit?
Wow. I never thought about it that way, but you're right. It's like, we can become numb to the humanity of others.
Yes.
When we're constantly bombarded with images and information.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're using those creators and performers
mm-hmm.
for our own entertainment.
Right.
Without any real consideration for who they are.
And it can be so subtle.
Right.
And it's not always a conscious decision, but it can sneak into our lives in so many ways.
Dr. Oswald also talked about how this can even affect our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
a really thought-provoking idea.
It is. It's like approaching God with this transactional mindset.
Okay.
As if he's this cosmic vending machine.
Right.
We come to him with our wish list, expecting him to deliver.
Right.
But without any real desire for genuine connection or surrender.
That reminds me of something you said earlier about knowledge of God requiring that vulnerability and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this spirit of prostitution is the opposite of that.
It is.
It's all about control and getting what we want
yeah.
without truly opening ourselves up.
Exactly. It's ironic because we long for this loving, faithful God, but we're so often unwilling to let go of our control and surrender to his will.
So how do we break free from this?
Well, Hosea offers this glimmer of hope in Psalm 78.5, page 8.
Okay.
It emphasizes the importance of passing on faith to the next generation.
Okay.
It's this reminder that teaching and discipleship start at home. Instilling a love for God and his ways in children can have a ripple effect.
So it's about nurturing this genuine relationship with God.
Yes.
That goes beyond just rules and rituals.
Right.
Helping the next generation connect with God on this deeper level.
Absolutely. It's about showing them what it means to live a life of faithfulness and integrity and how to resist the temptations of this spirit of prostitution that's so prevalent in our world.
And I think that applies to adults, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's never too late to start cultivating a deeper, more authentic faith.
It's never too late.
And letting go of that need to control everything.
It's a lifelong journey of learning to trust God and surrender to his plan for our lives.
Speaking of places.
Okay.
Dr. Oswald brought up something interesting in Hosea 4.15.
Yeah.
There's this warning against going to Gilgal and Bethel,
right,
which were these significant places in Israel's history.
They were. Gilgal was where the Israelites first camped after crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land.
Okay.
It was a place of new beginnings, a symbol of God's faithfulness.
And Bethel was where Jacob had that incredible dream of this ladder reaching up to heaven.
Yes.
He called it the house of God.
Right.
So both of these places had this rich spiritual meaning.
Absolutely. But in Hosea's time, they had become corrupted by idolatry.
Okay.
The people were placing more emphasis on the physical location,
right,
than on having a genuine connection with God.
It's like they thought just being in those places would automatically bring them closer to God.
Exactly.
Even if their hearts weren't in it.
Yeah. And Dr. Oswald brought it into the present day by asking, is God limited to Hughes Auditorium? It made me think about that recent revival in Wilmore, Kentucky, and how people are drawn to the experience, to the feeling of being in a place where God is moving.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the hype and the excitement.
Right.
But true faith is about so much more than just a moment or a location.
It is. It's about cultivating that inner relationship with God, allowing him to transform our hearts and minds regardless of where we are.
So it's not about avoiding certain places or experiences.
Right.
But about checking our motivations.
Yeah. Are we seeking God or are we seeking a feeling?
And that leads us to one of the most powerful metaphors in this chapter.
Yes.
The stubborn heifer in verse 16.
Yes. That image of Israel being like a heifer refusing to move toward a broad pasture, even though God is leading them there.
So what's the takeaway there?
Well, on the surface, it seems like a simple image of disobedience, but I think there's something deeper there.
Okay.
Something that resonates with our human nature. Yeah, it's like we can be so stubborn clinging to what's familiar, even if it's not good for us. We resist change even when God is offering something better.
We get comfortable in our routines.
Yeah.
In our own little world.
Our little bubbles.
Even if it's filled with negativity and emptiness and even pain.
Yeah.
We're like that heifer.
Yes.
Just digging in our heels.
Afraid to step out into the unknown.
Afraid to step out.
Even when it's a broad pasture filled with abundance.
And what's so interesting is that broad pasture isn't just about our own personal well-being.
No.
Dr. Oswald was emphasizing that when we surrender to God, it affects everyone around us.
It does. It has this ripple effect.
It has a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So this whole deep dive into Hosea chapter 4,
yeah,
it's not just some ancient history lesson.
It's not.
It's about how these timeless truths can change our lives today.
Exactly. It's a call to examine our hearts, to ask ourselves if we're truly seeking God or if we're caught up in that spirit of prostitution, using God and others for our own selfish gain.
Dr. Oswald's closing prayer really stuck with me.
Yeah.
He prayed that we would be set free from that spirit of prostitution.
Yeah.
And that we would cultivate a spirit of faithfulness.
Right.
In our relationship with God and others.
What a powerful image, trading in that old restrictive way of relating for something authentic and genuine and life-giving. It's about embracing that open pasture, letting go of our need for control, and trusting God to lead us.
So what does that spirit of faithfulness look like,
yeah,
in our everyday lives?
Well, I think it starts with being honest with ourselves.
Okay.
Are we willing to be vulnerable with God, to admit our weaknesses and our need for him? Are we willing to surrender our own plans and desires,
yeah,
and embrace his will for our lives?
It's about moving beyond those empty rituals and seeking genuine connection,
yes,
with God and with the people around us.
It's about giving rather than taking.
Right.
Loving without expecting anything in return.
And being patient with ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that this is a lifelong journey.
It is.
We'll stumble and make mistakes.
We will.
But God's grace is always there.
Always.
To pick us up and put us back on the right path.
Amen to that.
This deep dive has really given me a lot to think about.
Me too.
It's amazing how an ancient text like Hosea,
yeah,
can speak so directly to our modern day struggle.
It is. It's the beauty of scripture. It's a living, breathing word that continues to challenge and inspire us centuries later.
So if you're listening, we encourage you to take some time to reflect on these truths from Hosea chapter 4. Ask yourself, where are you seeing that lack of truth, love, and knowledge of God in your own life and in the world around you? How can you cultivate that spirit of faithfulness in your relationships, both with God and with others? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and into that broad pasture that God is offering you?
Such good questions.
This deep dive is just the beginning.
It is.
There's always more to explore, more to learn, and more to discover in God's Word. We hope you'll continue to dive deep and uncover the treasures that He has waiting for you. Thanks for joining us.